Amen.
All right, so Matthew chapter 6. If you're visiting with us, I've been going through the book of Matthew, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so here we are. We are at Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to go through verse 16, 17, and 18. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. 16, 17, and 18. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for our visitors this morning. Lord, we pray for all the folks that are out, staying home. And that's okay. They feel comfortable staying home and being safe. That's perfectly fine. There is no condemnation or any crazy stuff like that going on here at Pauline. Lord, thank you for folks that are traveling and going vacationing and seeing their family. I pray, God, that you will bring them back safely. Bring them back home safe. Father, we remember the folks on the back of our bulletin that are sick and suffering and have problems and issues in life. Father, we just take just a second and pray for them. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, these prayer requests on the back of our bulletin, we lay them at the foot of the cross. We give them into your hands. Lord, provide what you know that they need. As Gary mentioned, Father, we pray for our military and our missionaries running around the country, keeping us safe and spreading the good news of the gospel. Jesus, help me teach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 6, 16 through 18. Let's read it. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it would not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Everybody said amen? Now we all know that we live in a culture consumed with accumulating possessions. Right? You can't hide under a rock without seeing that. That's why one of the fastest businesses growing in America right now is storage units. Do a little research on it. And you all know they're popping up everywhere, aren't they? The storages, people are consuming and these possessions and then they have to find a way to store them. Popping up everywhere, kind of like a Dollar General. Wish I'd invested in Dollar General stock about 20 years ago, right? It's funny because we were going to the beach down there. We don't like going through Jacksonville now. It's gotten so crazy and I-95 and all that. So we'll, take an extra 20 minutes and go down to Ocala and shoot across. It's actually easy. And that shoots right into Ormond Beach. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about Florida country redneck land. And it's kind of funny because you still see, but we don't offend anybody, but you still see Trump signs everywhere. You know, I'm like, anyway. Dollar General. Every 20 miles, it seemed like, you know. So, you know, anyway, the Bible tells us that we should be more concerned about accumulating eternal treasures. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here. Jesus reveals this in two areas in these scriptures. So if you're taking notes, here we go. The first area we're going to cover this morning. The second area, we don't have enough time. The second area we're going to cover, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. Okay? So the first one that Jesus wants us to consider is fasting. So we're going to talk about fasting this morning. Now, if you've been following the Bible studies on Sunday morning, I mentioned in the last message about the scribes and Pharisees considering three things that were like the most important thing to be a good spiritual person. These are the religious acts that they felt were the most important. It was almsgiving. Remember, that was given to the poor. So they that was very important to them, to give to the poor, to pray, and to fast. So these are the things they considered as the most important religious acts. Now, in this passage, Jesus addresses the hypocrisy of their fasting practices. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, since fasting is one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines, let's really see what Jesus and the Word of God says about fasting. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:16. He says, when you fast, do not look, everybody say do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now don't forget this word reward. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. These treasures and these rewards. Okay? Now the only command in the Bible about fasting is the Day of Atonement. Okay? Which is really an Old Testament law. Anybody remember the Day of Atonement? It was really kind of one of the holiest days of the whole year. That's when the high priest came in to offer the sacrifices. He went into the Holy of Holies and offered the sacrifices for the sins of the people. That's a whole other subject. I'll try not to go there, but it's very interesting, you know. But this is really the only time in the Bible where it really says you need to fast on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is really celebrated by the Jewish folks even today. And actually, the Day of Atonement is next week on Wednesday. So if you're, you know, got a connection with your, you know, what's it called? Christian Jews. What was the movement back in the 70s? The Christian Jews? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? So if you got a connection with the Christian Jews, most of them still celebrate the Day of Atonement by fasting 25 hours. I think it's 25 hours. But I know it's a whole day, you know, 24. And I think there's a 25 for some reason. I don't remember, sorry. But 25 hours in that day. So it's next Wednesday. But in Leviticus, it talks about this. Leviticus 16:29. Here it is. It says, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, which those calendars are all different now, you must deny, here's what I said, you must deny yourselves and do not do any work. Now, it's interesting because the word in the Hebrew word deny there means to abstain from any food and romantic relations. You hear me? So that was the command. Now, apart from the Day of Atonement, fasting was really totally a voluntary act. Okay? The need for the Day of Atonement and all that, we don't need that today because we know that Christ died on the cross for us. You know, He paid the price. He was the, you know, the sacrificial lamb. And Hebrews 10:10 says it this way. Hebrews 10:10 says, and by that will we have been made holy. It's talking about the whole cross and death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and everything. Hebrews 10:10 says this. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. When he said it's finished, it's what he meant. It is finished. You know? Now, fasting, let's get back to that. Fasting is very appropriate for today. Okay? And the Bible talks about some basic three reasons. There's more, but there's basic three reasons I want to talk to you about this morning. So if you're taking notes, here's number one. When you're guilty of sin, you could benefit from fasting. When you're guilty of sin, when the people of Nineveh repented, they called for a fast. It's in Jonah 3:5. Ninevites believed God and a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So you may find yourself in a spider web of sin. Whatever that means to you, you know, if you find yourself in this, trapped in this spider web of sin, in other words, you know you're doing wrong and you shouldn't be doing it, and the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart that you need to stop doing this and this kind of thing. The Bible clearly says that we need to ask God to forgive us and then repent of that sin, which means turn around and don't do it again, right? Ask for forgiveness and then repent of that. Now, in our flesh, sometimes we feel that sometimes things are a little difficult. You know, that sounds easy. Ask forgiveness and repent. Everything's fine. Sometimes things are a little bit more difficult. So if you need that extra power, that extra strength, the Bible's telling us that at that time you may want to ask forgiveness, repent, and maybe fast. Because that fasting, you know, can give you the little extra encouragement, the little extra power, the little extra strength that would take to break this bondage or break this sin. And we'll talk more about fasting in a minute. Second reason that it may be beneficial for you to fast. Second, when you're afraid. When you are afraid or you have fear in your life. It says, when Jehoshaphat is afraid, he seeks the Lord and proclaims a fast throughout the land. 2 Chronicles 23 says this, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judea. Now you may find yourself, especially these days, with what's going on in the world, or just maybe what's going on in your life, you may find yourself in a fearful, a worry, anxious, and this thing might get on you, and sometimes it can control us. Sometimes it can become an obsession in our thoughts. Maybe it's something we don't need to, you know, repent of. It's just one of those fearful things, you know, that come into our life from time to time. And they do. They do. So the Bible says that God did not give fear. He's not the author of fear or confusion. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, as we trust God, as we pray and read our Bible, maybe there's times where a little fasting might take us over the hump. Because it's really kind of like you're crucifying your flesh, isn't it? You know, fleshly desires, you know, I want this or that. I love to eat this or that. Sometimes that fasting may be just what you need to take you over that little hump to get over that fear or worry or that anxiety, you know. It's definitely something to pray about. Number three. Third reason it may be beneficial for you to fast. Here it is. When you have a major decision to make in your life, yes, it'd be very beneficial to pray about it, talk to the Lord, read the Bible, study, consult other people that you respect, right? Get counsel from other people about making a big decision in your life. But it may also be beneficial for you to go on a little fast. I keep saying little fast. It could be a day, an afternoon, 2 days, 3 days. That's up between you and the Lord, isn't it? We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. But it may be beneficial for you to fast. When the church at Jerusalem is choosing the first missionaries to go out, they worshiped the Lord and they fasted. The Holy Spirit tells them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work God has called them to do. Now, this is really neat to me right here. It's in Acts 13:2. This is really neat. Now listen closely at this. Acts 13:2 and 3. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I mean, don't let this go over your head now, please. Read it again. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, wouldn't that be great? You know that? Yes, that's awesome. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. What a beautiful thing. When I was studying this and getting this ready, you know, throughout the week and yesterday, I thought, wow, you know, I never had the opportunity to go on one of the foreign missionary trips, you know, that you guys did, the short term and 1 week or 2 weeks, you know. What's that? Well, I want to. I've been asking the director of missions to make that happen. But, you know, but, you know, COVID shut all that down, right? So, you know, we can't do anything right now. Even right now, it probably wouldn't be wise to go do something. But I look forward to the day when we can. Or maybe even do something in locally or within southeastern United States. And having a little time in church where maybe three or four guys say, okay, we're going to do this. And we lay hands on them. Maybe we fast that day before. And we lay hands on them that Sunday morning and pray and send them out. I got chill bumps right now all over me just thinking how powerful that might be, you know? There's things that we can do locally. Let's not completely shut down on that, right? My brother, fire chief in Hayhara, they took off to Louisiana and he actually got selected to be the commander of 10 fire departments, you know, over there doing their stuff, you know, what they do. And Lynn and I have been talking that whenever we officially retire, which I still want to pastor the church until I just die, but, so don't get me wrong now, but, you know, I'm not working a regular job no more, maybe neither is Lynn. We really feel in our heart that we want to be a part of the Billy Graham rescue team, you know what I'm talking about? Where they, you know, halo into somewhere and set up a, I just think that's so cool, man. Lynn does too. So I want to be able to do stuff like that, you know, and give. So I encourage you guys to be thinking and praying about things that you could do either locally or away. So anyway, enough meddling, right? So I just really think that's cool. So later on, when Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, remember the first missionary journey and they founded churches and they had all these different churches and they had to appoint elders of each of the churches. They did the same thing. Acts 14:23. Here it is. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Wow. Now, there are other ways that you can fast other than just not eating. You know, there's other ways we can fast. So we'll talk about that for a little bit. Daniel is a good example of a partial or a selective fast. Okay, let's read Daniel 10:3. Here it is. Daniel 10:3. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine, touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks was over. So Daniel ate no fried chicken, no steak, and he didn't have no alcohol for 3 weeks. I kind of went, you know, this is one of those things, if you're doing a physical fast for health, you can talk about it. If you're doing a spiritual fast, you need to let that between you and the Lord. We'll talk about that later, a little bit later. Yikes. I'm hurrying. Y'all getting something? Yeah, I'm not going to talk about me. You can have a partial or selective fast, kind of like the RevWell ladies do. They go on this no sweets for, how long did you guys do that? 30 days, 40 days? 21 days? 21-day fast, you know, with no sugar. That's very, you know, acceptable, worthy, good for you, all that. You know, and that's one of those selective or partial fasts, like Daniel was kind of talking about. When you do something like that, every time you maybe feel tempted to eat some kind of sugar, you know, I'm not the best one to give advice on this, but I'm going to give some. I've picked up some stuff from the RevWell ladies. When you're tempted to eat, pray, read your Bible, trust God, exercise, find a little way to get yourself distracted a little bit. Amen? Maybe God's calling you to fast TV for a little bit. Nothing wrong with TV. I mean, my wife and I watch TV, and there's some good shows and some terrible shows too, right? But maybe the Lord's putting on your heart to fast certain television shows, or maybe fast the news for a little bit, or maybe fast social media for a little bit. A little time out for a week or two, whatever, 40 days. Same thing. When you're tempted, you apply these principles of prayer, you know, and Bible study and trusting God, and find yourself get a little distracted some way, you know, get your mind off that. Why 40 days? Basically, it's kind of not a magical number. It's kind of a common period that's mentioned in the Bible, about 40 days, you know. Also, psychologists tell us that it really takes about 6 weeks to change a habit or change a lifestyle, okay? Anybody ever heard of Dr. Bill Bright? Dr. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He's passed away years ago, he's in heaven now. But he wrote a book about fasting. It was very powerful, very popular book back in the day. He said this, "Fasting is the most powerful spiritual discipline of all Christian disciplines." And I believe he was a mighty man of God. Through fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit can transform your life. And he can transform the lives of others that you're connected with. Now, here's something I believe. I believe that a spiritual fast, should always have a spiritual purpose. Okay? It might be you're seeking clarity when it comes to discerning what God's will is for your life. Maybe you're looking for direction on a serious decision like we talked about. Maybe it's repentance or breaking a bad habit. Spiritual fast should always have a spiritual purpose. It might be because, like we talked about, you're looking for some courage and some strength for God to take you over that hill or get you past this thing that maybe is thorn in your side or something like that. You can also go on a fast for just health reasons, just health benefits, maybe emotional benefits. Maybe you need to fast social media or the news for a little bit to have a little peace of mind for a little bit. Then go back, see what's going on in world affairs. I understand that. But for health reasons. And this is also very important. I believe you should always, everybody say always. I believe you should always seek counsel before starting any kind of fast. Okay? Trust me on that one. Before starting a spiritual fast, I think you need to speak to a mature Christian mentor that you respect. And also talk to a medical professional. You know, if you haven't fasted, you don't know what's going to happen physically, right, Carmen? I mean, you know, your blood pressure drop, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So make sure you do that. Before starting a health fast, I encourage you to speak with a nutritionist or a health coach, kind of like Marianne, and also speak with your doctor or medical professional. It's just wise. Okay? I've seen too many people get hurt. Seriously, I've seen too many people get hurt from fasting the wrong way and for the wrong reasons. Okay? Fasting does not give you superpowers. Now, I'm going to share something about an old friend. Okay? Not Ryan, but an old friend way back before. He fasted one time, and he told me, and he told several other people, this is a spiritual fast. He's going to get close to God. And he fasted for 40 days, just like Jesus. And the whole time he suffered, it was rough. He drank water and clear broth the whole time. But I can tell you, the whole time, he made sure everybody knew he was fasting, and he was going to be tun ta da da. Really, that was kind of where I saw it go the whole time, and it didn't end well. He got sick, just was not a good Christian witness. He had emotional issues. Several years later, he and his wife divorced, and it went not because he did that, but I'm just saying it. You don't want to get hyper religious and get all super spiritual and fast because you're thinking I need some kind of superpower to be able to lay hands on everybody and heal them. That's just not biblical. Okay? There's certain times for that. There's certain biblical principles for all that. Okay? Well, that's another message. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. Remember we talked about them? The Pharisees, and I'm almost closing. The Pharisees fasted twice a week, probably on Mondays and Thursdays. However, they were doing it for the wrong reasons. Even one of them was talking in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 12. He got all braggadocious and said this. He said, I fast twice a week and I give 10% of everything I make. I'm really sure that didn't impress Jesus, right? But that's what he did. He got caught up in that pride, caught up in the ego, being super religious, hyper, all that stuff. Now, because these were one of the three things that they thought was very important in the religious acts, remember, giving to the poor, praying, and fasting, Jesus knew that they're probably going to be fasting. So Jesus told them in Matthew 6, 17, 18, it says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, and that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Now, anointing one's head and washing one's face was part of like daily grooming. In other words, Jesus said, if you're going to fast, right, if you're going to do a spiritual fast, in today's terms, that means ladies, do what you normally do. Put on your makeup, if you wear makeup, wash your hair, you know, get your toes did. Whatever you do, I don't know. But whatever you normally do, keep doing that. But don't look, you know, somber and sad and, oh, I'm fasting today. Don't do that. Men, shave, clean up, if that's what you normally do, right? Can't answer for some of these guys, right? But the point is to do nothing unusual to attract attention to yourself because you're fasting. Make sense? That's pretty clear. Matthew 6:18 says, and your Father will see what is done in secret and reward you. Now, we're getting to the reward thing. I got about just a few minutes and we'll be finished. To reward you. Because God knows the purpose of your fast. He will reward you with things such as courage, the ability to forgive, break a habit, to find out what God's will is for your life and His purpose and those kind of things. See, Jesus never said anything to discourage fasting. He only condemns those who fast for the wrong reasons. Now, like I said earlier, fasting brings eternal dividends. Okay? Eternal rewards. Everybody say eternal. That's really the focus of when you're fasting. It's really about storing up treasures in heaven. By eternal rewards, eternal treasure. And that eternal treasure through your prayer, fasting, it could be your loved one finally getting saved. It may be that fast that takes it over the hill to see your cousin, your son, or your daughter return to God, return to church. Maybe opportunity to witness to your neighbor or your friend or your coworker. It could be that fasting could be that little encouragement for you to follow God's will into missions or the ministry or to go to Bible college. When you're talking about a physical or health fast, the benefits and the rewards could be earthly, could be weight loss, overcoming a health challenge. It could be the ability to finally break a long-time habit or maybe even an addiction. So the real question is this. Do you want the eternal rewards? Do you want the eternal treasure? Don't fall for the trick of, no, I don't want any eternal treasures in heaven. Don't fall for that false pride of saying, no, I don't want anything. I just want to be able just to get into heaven. Don't fall for that. You should want to be a treasure hunter. I am. I absolutely love being a treasure hunter. Because I know that the treasure that the Lord uses me for is eternal treasure. The souls being saved. Right? Marriages being healed. People being set free. These eternal treasures, we should all seek them and want them. And it's never about money. Never. It's always about us getting closer to God. Listen closely. It's always about us getting closer to God and Him giving us what we need to carry out His will for our life. I'm going to say that again, not to insult your intelligence, but I just really want to hammer this home. That fasting, those eternal rewards and treasures, it's always about us getting closer to God and Him giving us what we need to carry out His will for our life. Whatever that may be. If you're feeling God calling you to fast, then fast for the right reasons. Seek the Lord and ask Him when you should fast, how you should fast, and what you should fast about. And remember this. Before fasting, Proverbs 15:22. Before going on to any fast, please remember Proverbs 15:22. And here it is. Plans go wrong for lack of counsel. Many advisors bring success. Amen. Like I said earlier, next week is homecoming. And so we're going to pass on the Matthew, and then the following week we'll jump back into the second way to accumulate eternal treasures. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. It's always on time. It always leads, directs, guides, counsels, corrects us when we need to be corrected. It's loving, it's patient and kind and good. We love you so much, Father. Lord, if there's one here that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, during this song of invitation, I pray that they'll come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. We can settle that today. They can become children of God. Love you again. In Jesus' name. Amen.